What's going on, guys? This is Jamie Kane, the host and founder of the Liberty Uninterrupted podcast. Welcome to another episode and welcome to month two, where we will be focusing on police reform. And so if a lot of you are new to the show, you don't know how it works, the scheduling, every single month I tackle a new subject that is heightened right now in our nation and how the libertarian method would essentially fix the issue. And that's how this works. So this month I'm focusing on police reform. This and every, let me say this, every week is a different subject within that subject. So the month is police reform. The week, however, is going to be no-knock raids and improving police and community relationships. That's what today is going to be. So I feel like I have to I feel like I have to make this disclaimer first before I jump right in. I am not on the bandwagon. I'm not on the side of all cops are racist. I'm not on the side that all cops are out to kill people. I'm not on the side that all cops are horrible people. That's just factually incorrect. There's a lot of good police officers out there. I think that the policies in a lot of police departments are need to be reformed or repealed. I do not stand on the side that all cops are racist, horrible people, and they're out there looking for trouble, looking to kill people. I think there are bad apples, and I think they should absolutely 100,000% be held accountable. Hence why I am in favor of ending qualified immunity, which will actually be a subject also this month. So with all that being said, I'm not on that bandwagon of all cops are racist, horrible people. So I feel like I need to say that first. I also need to say that I was raised by a police officer. My father was a police officer. He was a good police officer. He, to me, is what a police officer should be. He was not in the business of arresting everybody and their brother. He was not in the business of taking people down for victimless crimes. He was actually very, very adamant about holding others accountable within the department, and eventually left the department because of a corrupt situation that he did not want to be involved with, that he helped to resolve, and then ended up leaving the department early after 10 years of serving as a police officer. My father has talked about police reform and demilitarization as a former police officer for as long as I can remember, and a lot of his opinions have shaped mine along with a lot of my own education on the subject. So I want to get that all out of the way first and just jump right into no-knock raids and improving community relations with police officers. Guys, I'm going to start off today by reading the Fourth Amendment. So it says, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now, there's nothing in there that it specifically says that you have to announce yourself, obviously. But the argument is this with the Fourth Amendment, that this holds people or holds law enforcement to a standard that says you cannot have an unreasonable search or seizure. And as a libertarian, as somebody that believes in the rights and freedoms of others, a no-knock raid is absolutely an unreasonable search and seizure. Now, I'm not going to get into all these definitions. I'm not going to get into scholarly discussions or peer-reviewed papers or facts or statistics today. Today is really just about the common sense of the issue, because I feel like a lot of people, that's where a lot of people align. It's just the common sense. This is a common sense podcast. To me, it's common sense that if you are serving as a police officer, you should no-knock raids, no-knock warrants should absolutely be illegal. I believe that it is in the best interest of not only the person having the warrant placed upon them, but also in the best interest of the police officers and the safety of everybody involved. If we look at it like this, I actually had a friend reach out to me over Instagram after the whole Breonna Taylor thing, which was, it's to me, it's crazy because it's such a muddy case. The stats and facts and opinions and reports have changed over and over again on the Breonna Taylor case. But what I do know is that it's important to look at the issue. And I think the Breonna Taylor case, whether you agree or not, or you don't believe the report, or you do believe the report, or parts of the report, whatever it may be, I think we can all agree that this is a good time to talk about no-knock raids. This is a good time to talk about making them illegal, because they are truly unconstitutional according to that definition of the Fourth Amendment. Okay. Now, with all this being said, I had a friend that reached out to me over Instagram because I posted about Breonna Taylor. I posted about the fact that she was, a victim of a no-knock warrant. And like I said, no one knows what happened. The reports have changed a million times, but at the time, that's what was said, that it was a no-knock warrant, and she was killed in a crossfire between her boyfriend and the police. So a friend reached out to me, and he basically said, you support this. It really surprises me, this, and that. And I'm going to read this Instagram DM that I sent to him. I said, "I'm always open discussing my opinions, man. It's important to have an open dialogue. So this issue is very complicated. I've heard multiple stories as well saying he didn't have a warrant out for his arrest, but the police suspected drugs being sold out of the home," speaking about Breonna Taylor's boyfriend. "I've also heard that he had a warrant out for his arrest. But it comes down to this: no-knock raids are unconstitutional according to the Fourth Amendment, which protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. It's always been common law to knock and identify yourself during a warrant. It protects the suspect and the officers involved. If I heard someone entering my house, the first thing I would do is grab my firearm and potentially shoot. No doubt in my mind. The unfortunate part is you don't know if it's a cop if they don't identify themselves. It's dangerous for everybody. The real issue is a lot of times there's no probable cause in issuing these no-knock raid warrants, which is completely unconstitutional. Breonna Taylor was completely innocent in that moment and would probably still be alive if the officers would have announced the warrant. I'm not anti-police. My dad was an officer. I have multiple friends and mentors who are police officers. But criminal justice reform is needed to more resemble what our founding fathers had in mind." With all that being said, I stick by that 1,000%. You can come at me, you can disagree, whatever it may be, but that's what I believe. I believe at the end of the day, the no-knock raids are unconstitutional because it's always been common law for the police officers to identify themselves before entering a premises. The biggest thing about this, like I said in that message, is it protects not only the suspects, but the officers. Like I said, if I heard somebody walking in my door, busting down my door, I own several firearms. I sleep with a SIG P320 next to my bed. If I heard somebody entering my premises, I would absolutely grab my firearm and I would absolutely, if it warranted it, fire that firearm and disable the person trying to enter my premises. I'm not going to be shy about that. So the issue at hand here is, what can we do to protect the rights and the safety of all citizens, and also the safety of the police officers who are enacting this unconstitutional policy? With that being said, I also had a friend recently reach out to me just a couple of days ago, a really good friend of mine, who talked about, we talked about a lot of things, to be completely honest with you. And he made the point evidently clear, and I agree with him, that it is not always fair to put the blame on the police officers themselves because they are following a policy. And I agree somewhat with that. At the end of the day, they're quote unquote doing their jobs and they're following an order that was given them by their superiors. Where I have an issue with that is, as a police officer, you swear to protect and uphold, or you basically take an oath to protect and serve your community. And in order for you, in my opinion, to properly protect and serve your community, the first thing you have to do is abide by the Constitution. And state constitutions should mirror the federal Constitution, the United States Constitution, and most of them don't. But with that being said, as a police officer, I believe, just as a soldier like I was, our jobs were to uphold the Constitution and to protect our nation. from domestic terrorists within without. I believe that no-knock warrants are an absolute threat to the safety and security and the freedoms and rights of us citizens. Excuse me, 1,000%, no doubt. And so I told him my issue with that statement is like, for instance, I'm originally from Virginia. And in Virginia recently, they had the whole issue with the firearms. They were trying to do an assault, quote unquote, assault weapons ban, red flag laws. They'd recently passed some laws in respect to red flag laws, which are complete infringement on the Second Amendment right. And once again, also unconstitutional. But with that being said, a lot of police officers and sheriffs came out and said, we will not uphold this order because it is unconstitutional. And I respected the hell out of them for saying that. 1,000% I respected those officers and sheriff's offices for saying that and upholding the Constitution. So my issue is, if we look at the no-knock raids, if we look at no-knock warrants, what I told him is, as somebody that is sworn to uphold and protect your community, you have to realize that this policy is not constitutional. It is not safe. It is a violation of rights, freedoms, and liberties. And as a police officer, like my dad did in certain circumstances within his department that I won't go into, that you have to stand up and say, I cannot go through this order because it is not legally and morally correct. And that's how I feel about that. Now, once again, you can feel differently, which is fine, but that is my opinion when it comes to that. I can tell you right now, when I was serving the United States military, if they deploy or they tried to deploy me to wrangle up citizens or to stand against the citizens of the United States of America, I just could not have upheld that order. I actually had conversations with myself, with friends around me who served in the military, and there's no way I could have upheld an order like that. Now, that's scary to think about because court-martialing and dishonorable discharge, all that good stuff, but all that scary stuff. But at the end of the day, we have to stand in a place of morals and dignity and respect to the constitutions and our freedoms and liberties. If we don't do that as those who are sworn to protect and serve, then at the end of the day, I mean, that we're not doing exactly what we thought we would be doing. We're not doing what we swore to do. We're not upholding the oath if we're not abiding by the Constitution. So to go along with no-knock raids, we have to remember that if we can finally make this policy, because there's so much attention built up around it right now, illegal. If we can finally say, look, no-knock raids are unacceptable. Citizens and suspects need to be told who is entering their premises, why they're entering their premises, and be given adequate time to respond. Unless there's a life or death situation where they have a hostage or whatever it may be, and the police officers need to immediately enter the premises, that's a different conversation. But for a normal warrant where they're going in, they're searching, whatever it may be, people need to have their liberties and their freedoms protected and upheld by the Fourth Amendment and by those who are sworn to protect their rights, liberties, and safety. Also on the same page, I think if you're a police officer, if you serve on a police department, you should absolutely be in favor of making no-knock warrants illegal for reasons that I've previously explained in this episode, but also for your safety. Like I said before, if I hear somebody entering my premises without my consent, I'm absolutely grabbing a firearm and I'm absolutely making it known that I have no problem to discharge that firearm and disable that perpetrator, 100%. I'm not going to ask questions. If they're knocking down my, if they're crushing down my door, they're banging it down, they're kicking down, whatever you want to say, I'm not going to make exceptions. I'm not going to think, oh, I wonder if this is a police officer entering my premises illegally by an unconstitutional policy. No, I'm not going to think that. And I wouldn't expect anybody else to think that or to think that way or to have that line of thought. So, I've had a lot of people reach out to me more on the conservative aisle, say, well, Breonna Taylor wasn't innocent. There's evidence showing that she was involved with the drug trade with her boyfriend, this, that, and the other. I have to say this. It is not police officers' jobs to be judge, jury, and executioner. It's just not. Police aren't supposed to kill guilty, quote-unquote, people either. I don't believe Breonna Taylor or her boyfriend was guilty of really anything, because I believe the war on drugs needs to end. There are victimless crimes that infringe on the personal liberties of people that want to take substances that they feel are of a benefit to them. I don't think so. I think drugs are a really bad idea. I'm not interested whatsoever, but that is their prerogative to do so. And so a lot of people say, well, yeah, well, she was involved with the drug dealing and so was her boyfriend, this, that, and the other. And that goes down even another couple of notches, another couple of layers deep, because it's then we think to ourselves, well, isn't that the problem? At the end of the day, a no-knock warrant shouldn't be illegal. But on top of that, the war on drugs existing caused the death of Breonna Taylor. If she was truly involved with the drugs and whatnot, that is, that is an issue that needs to be dealt with. But when you dig down, when you go layers deep, you realize, okay, if the war on drug didn't exist, no-knock raids, this, that, and the other, we wouldn't have this problem. Cops wouldn't be wasting their time with people that are buying and selling drugs. Who cares? Unless the person is high and then really like decides to go out on a freaking rager and hurt innocent people, which drunk people do as well. We had prohibition. We see how well that worked. It didn't work at all, right? It's the same thing, I believe, with the war on drugs. I'm sorry if that was kind of all over the place, but I feel like I needed to talk about that real fast. So this thing goes so deep, where it's like at the inherent cause of the warrant with quote unquote drug dealing. It's like, well, if we didn't have the war on drugs, then we wouldn't have to worry about this. This would have never have been. Sorry, I'm fixing my mustache here. I keep looking at it. It's kind of all over the place. You can't have a mustache that's all over the place. It just doesn't look good at all. It looks horrible. Like a messed up mustache is all crazy and nuts. Ain't looking good. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening to podcasts, completely ignore what I just said for the last 15 seconds. I'd appreciate that. With all that being said, when it comes to no-knock raids, if we can understand the infringement and the issues that arise, the secondary reactions that happen with them, like someone shooting a police officer, like an innocent bystander being killed, if we can understand that all of these things are byproducts of an unconstitutional policy, then why aren't we making it illegal today? Like Rand Paul, I mean, I learned about no-knock raids in 2010. I remember my dad telling me a story about a gentleman in the deep south somewhere that got shot like 32 times by police officers on a no-knock warrant. I've been talking about and known about no-knock warrants since 2010, okay? And all of a sudden in 2020, 10 years later, now we're talking about it. This has been happening forever. It's simply because, honestly, the media has latched itself onto this case and has brought it to the forefront. I'm here telling you that Breonna Taylor is not the only person that's been killed by a no-knock warrant. There are thousands of other people that have been killed in response to a no-knock warrant, and there's no policy that should, I don't want to say inevitably, but often lead to that result. I don't believe that is correct. I don't believe that is moral. I don't believe that is right. So, with all that being said, our politicians aren't going to do anything about the no-knock warrant. They're not going to make it illegal. They're not going to try to fight it. The only person that has talked about it in politics is Rand Paul, who introduced the bill, who introduced the Justice for Breonna Taylor Act, and then who was also berated after leaving the Republican, National Convention, because it's saying that people, BLM activists saying that he needed to say her name. I'm like, this is the guy that introduced the act. That's a different conversation for a different day. I'm sure we'll talk about BLM and Antifa idiots later, but today we're talking about no-knock raids and police reform. That's the only one that's talked about it is Rand Paul. He's the only, I'm not sure who co-sponsored the bill. It wouldn't surprise me if, I don't know, Massey or Amash or Mike Lee or somebody did. I would hope they would, but I don't know if they have or not. Rand Paul has absolutely written that bill and sponsored it, okay? With all this being said, the politicians aren't going to do anything about this. It's already shown. Here we have a whole country crying out for once for more freedom. Here we have the left and some of the right, and of course, libertarian. We've been here since 1971, okay? 1971, the party was established, and that was in, we talked about no-knock raids and warrants and ending the war on drugs since 1971. Everyone is just catching up. What's hilarious is that everyone is just catching up to us. They think that they're on the forefront, you know, Democrats and liberals right now think they're on the forefront of criminal justice reform while they were in bed with the Republicans this entire time until just, what, a year ago, 2 years ago? We have been on the forefront of criminal justice reform since 1971, and true libertarians even before the party who were constitutionalists even before then. And so I'm so sick of the libertarian platform being basically being kidnapped by the left and the right on different issues when we're the ones that have been talking about this. I don't even know where I was. I kind of went off on a rant. That's awesome. Well, I think it's I think that's important to say. But anyway, so I was saying that, you know, the left, they are talking about this heavily, saying that it's time to make no-knock raids illegal, so on and so forth. I haven't seen anything. I haven't heard anything.
I'm sorry, guys.
Oh man, you're really tired. I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anything. Nothing. Nothing has come about when it comes to passing a law that would make these policies and this procedure completely and utterly illegal. And that brings it down to this. Politicians won't save us. Our elected servants do a really, really bad job about listening to the voice of the people. And here we have a policy for once, and an entire nation is crying out for more freedom. Instead of the liberals crying out for higher taxation and socialization or socialism in this country, calling out for single payer healthcare, which restricts the freedoms, calling out for restriction on the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. When we have the right, the Republicans restricting our freedoms in the form of the Patriot Act, national the NSA, privacy concerns, big military, I mean, all that stuff. Here we have a country that is in agreement with a policy that would give us more liberty and freedom, and your elected servants aren't going to do anything about it. They're not going to pass a law. They're not going to argue about it. All they're going to do is give you lip service and say how horrible the death of Breonna Taylor was, how horrible this policy is. We need to end it now. Well, you're the ones that can end it, and you won't, because you don't care. At the end of the day, the politicians and your elected servants simply do not care. They don't. If they did care, this policy would have been repealed and abolished a long, long time ago. But they don't care until we start paying attention. And even then, they still don't care because they give it lip service and they don't do anything with it afterward. What is that? I don't understand that. And yet here we are. It's common sense to think, you know what? A police officer shouldn't have the ability to not say his name, to not identify themselves and bust down somebody's door without any warning and then have the issue at hand happen. Because that so many problems arise. Of course, people are going to get shot. Of course, violence is going to occur because people get scared. Even then, if nothing happened, if all the police officer did was not announce and kick in the door, that is still unconstitutional because it is unreasonable search and seizure according to the Fourth Amendment. And the people that you keep voting for, and I say you when I'm talking to Republicans and Democrats, aren't going to do anything about it. And they won't do a single thing except for pay it lip service, post on their social media justice for Breonna Taylor, talk about how evil and wicked this policy is. And then when push comes to shove, guess what? Nothing is going to happen. We have to stop voting for these people. We have to get them out of there. It is time to reform to a constitutional form of governance. The problems we have today are not caused by a lack of government. They are caused by too much government. A no-knock raid? That should not, a no-knock warrant shouldn't be a thing. There should be a warrant, a search and seizure warrant, where you go and say, hey, we have this warrant under probable cause. And a lot of times no-knock raids are issued without any probable cause, or warrants in general for that matter. We're talking about no-knock raids today. We We have probable cause. We're announcing ourselves. We're telling you this is happening. That's how it should roll. There should be one option. That should be it. There should not be a no-knock raid policy. Yet there is, because we have been sold a bill of goods. We've been sold a bill of goods that these politicians, they care for us, they stand for us, they'll serve us. And at the end of the day, they keep policies on the books that kill us, that destroy our rights and our liberties. And like I said, this is for citizens as much as it is for the police officers, because everybody's safety is at risk with a no-knock raid. It is simple as that. Now, moving on, I want to talk about improving community relations with police officers and communities. Now, I had this conversation with my dad earlier, and we kind of talked about, like, what would a perfect community program look like with police officers and citizens? And what we came up with is this, and I'm sure I've heard this before, but I want to talk about it today. I don't know if someone else had this idea. If so, I give them full credit. But when we were talking, this is what we came up with. Police departments are broken down into precincts, right? They cover a certain area of the city or town that they're in, okay? Well, those precincts, you take that, and then they're all divided into smaller sections of those areas that police officers patrol and basically watch over. What our idea is this, is what you should have is a community representative from your community representing the precinct and representing the districts and the sub-districts that are divided into those police departments. And when an issue happens, if there is a, you know, domestic violence dispute, if there is a argument, if there is theft, what should happen, we believe, and this, I think this could absolutely work because this is a representative form of government, is that police officers show up to that call, but the first person they call, as long as nobody's in direct threat of losing their life, the first person they call is the community representative to meet with them. And they say, hey, police officer, I'm police officer so-and-so, community representative, nice to meet you. We have a call that, you know, 1489 Westboro Street is currently having a dispute over stolen goods, and we're here to investigate. Would you care to take the lead on this? And we'll provide backup. Something to that effect, right? So then the community representative who was chosen by that community, by, you know, I would hope unanimous decision, if not majority decision, would go to that premises and say, hey, it's me, it's John. Look, we got the police officers out here. They're saying there's a dispute here about something about stolen goods. I just want to come and see if this can help. I'm your friend. I'm your neighbor. You know me. You know I'm in your community. There is some mutual respect there, because you would want to have a community representative that is well-respected in that area, right? What can I do to help? Was there stolen goods? Tell me your thing. Tell me that if you think we should get the police in here, I'll bring them in, but I'm going to stay present. I think if we could do something like that, where we have representation at the local level, because I truly believe that we have to focus on returning power and emphasis to localities, to the local level, because at the end of the day, it is the local policies and elections that affect your life the most. It should never be. We see this now with the election of the president this year between, Biden, Trump, Jorgensen, except no one's talking about Joe Jorgensen, which is just, you know, fantastic as usual. But you know, we see it right now with this election, the fact that so many people are so fearful of who the president of the United States will be just shows you that the executive branch has been gifted too much power, and the federal government has too much power over our direct lives, where it should be from the local level up to the federal, and the federal should be the smallest form of government. And the local levels should mirror the U.S. Constitution as well with the states. That's what I believe. I think that's how we improve police and community relationships, is by having advisors that those communities trust, having the police officers know those advisors, come into the community, meet with them, say, hey, how can we help you? What more can we do? What can we be better on? This is what we're seeing in the community. These are the upticks. These are the trends. Just so you're aware, working in correspondence with the community and its representatives, I think would be an awesome, awesome way to improve and repair a lot of these relations. Because I'm telling you right now, I know good police officers that care about the communities that they serve. They don't want to hurt anybody. They don't want it to come down to violence. And I think we also have to have some sympathy and empathy looking at it from their perspective, not knowing if they're going to be able to return home to their families. That doesn't give them an excuse to act against the Constitution. That doesn't give them an excuse to endanger anybody else's lives. But I think you at least have to put yourself in their shoes and think every time they walk up to a car or a door or a dispute or a call, that it may be the last time that they are alive on this planet. And we have to emphasize that, along with, I know there's fear in especially the Black American, Black America community of violence against them with police officers. And we have this, and I think police officers and conservatives should empathize with minority communities, especially the Black community, and understand there is a long history, a long violent history between police officers and that community specifically. Going back to Jim Crow and segregation and the sit-ins and everything, we have to acknowledge that that is a thing. Well, I don't think there is quote unquote systematic or institutional racism today because there are no policies within the United States specifically targeting somebody because of what they look like. There are policies that disproportionately affect minority communities, hence a policy ending the war on drugs and so on and so forth. The data is there to prove that. We live in an incarceration nation right now. And it's unfortunate. We cannot claim to be the land of the free, a land that I love, a land that I am proud to be from, a land that I am proud to call myself an American. And I love my country. I love my country's history. I just hate our government. We cannot claim the title of the freest in the world while we have the highest incarceration rates in the world due to crimes that have no victims. So I think if we could start at the local levels with the police officers, knowing the communities, spending time in those communities, maybe even being from those communities and working with maybe not one or maybe the community has five representatives, seven, 10, 20, but they have official representatives working with the community, working with the police officers who are happy to do that. I think we can all stand and say that Black lives absolutely do matter. I do not stand, let me make this abundantly clear, with the organization Black Lives Matter. They are a Marxist organization. They are a divisive organization. They are out to destroy our country, our founding, our Constitution. They're out to destroy the family. They're out to sow chaos and division in this country, and I will never support the organization Black Lives Matter. But the sentiment itself, yes, Black lives do in fact matter. All Black lives. With that being said, those who are serving their communities as police officers, their lives matter as well. Quote, human lives matter. You know, I'm not going to get on the whole all lives matter thing, but I'm saying Black lives matter and those who serve us as police officers, their lives matter. With all this being said, I think it's important to look at the human aspect of this. I think that communities should look at police officers as humans. I think police officers should look at the communities they serve as humans and come together on that. Come together on being American, on being human, on being having the inherent value of life and understanding that value of life is what can heal this divide we're seeing right now between minority communities and police officers. Understanding that both sides know and understand that each life matters, that their life has inherent values, that everyone has hopefully somebody that loves them, that cares for them, and that one day they hope they come home every night. I think in closing, because I got to get going here, we have to understand this. At the root of the issue of no-knock raids, it is unconstitutional because it is against the Fourth Amendment of unreasonable search and seizure. It is dangerous for all parties involved, and it is a restriction and an infringement on liberties and freedoms personally and as a whole, collectively. Improving community relations within police officers and their communities they serve, I believe, should be handled at the local level. Those police officers should know the communities they serve, the people that they serve, the people they are sworn to protect. The community should nominate and support community representatives and advisors. And there should be an open dialogue between the communities and the officers. Because I don't want to see bloodshed. I don't want to see violence. Whether you believe Breonna Taylor was quote unquote innocent or not, she shouldn't have been shot and killed. It's as simple as that. But the same goes for the cops that have been shot recently. There's a video, I think it's in LA, of somebody just walking to a police car and just shooting in a police car and hitting two officers. I don't stand for that. I don't stand for violence on either side. I'm not LeBron James, who's a freaking hypocrite and a coward. Violence on either side is unacceptable. We adhere as libertarians by the non-aggression principle. And obviously, both of those scenarios infringed and belittled the non-aggression principle. So we should all be rooting for less violence. We should all be rooting for more communication. We should be all rooting for reform within police departments. And of course, I'm going to have next week episode is going to be on basically what should be taken out of the police officers' jobs and, basically responsibilities, what they should and shouldn't have to deal with, and then who would pick up the slack from there. That's going to be next week's episode. So, guys, I appreciate you tuning in to Liberty Uninterrupted. Hopefully you found some value out of this. A lot of times, I want to be completely frank with you, I kind of just go off of what I'm feeling. Of course, I base all of my opinions off of facts. I look at the facts. I read the data. I look at the statistics. I read the law. I look at the Fourth Amendment. But I have notes, and I look at those notes. I follow the framework of those notes. But sometimes it's important to veer off into other subjects that tie in. And so hopefully you can respect that. I'm sorry if I sound at all unprepared in moments, but that's because sometimes we just got to let it fly. And a lot of times those moments are the most profound. So I appreciate you tuning in. Please, please, please know that I'm rooting for you, that the libertarian movement is growing. And if you have any liberty curious friends that are trying to learn more about the movement, trying to become more involved, tell them to listen to the podcast, support it. Please share a 5-star review on the podcast, wherever you listen to it. And remember that we the people run this.